From Fort Worth, Texas, the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry is on the air. Our website, which has email and contact information along with past sermons, is www.jesuschristsaid.com. Now, with today's message about the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, here's evangelist David Perkins.
Thank you, George Thomas. In Luke, the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 20, Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven." The red letter words of Jesus Christ from the Gospel of Luke, the 6th chapter. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, may the words that I say be what you would have me say. May the eyes and the heart and the soul of some be opened to the power that is in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome to all in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome to all of you. It's so good to see you, talk to you. Some listen all over America and the world on the internet. So welcome in the name of Jesus Christ to all of you, wherever you are. I want to especially welcome the almost 1,000 delegates from all over the world and 5,000 visitors to the Methodist 2008 General Conference being held in Fort Worth for the next week, focused on the theme of Future with Hope, Making Disciples for the Transformation of the World. The conference, which meets every 4 years, is meeting in Fort Worth for the very first time, and I'm told it'll be a long time before the conference is again held here in North Texas. It's an honor for Fort Worth to host this conference. Fort Worth, my hometown, the city in which I grew up and from which I joined the Marines and left to see the world only to come back home and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm so proud of Fort Worth and so glad to be a part in welcoming the Methodist to our city. I hope your stay is a pleasant and a fruitful one for the love of Jesus Christ. Today's Bible reading comes from the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, from the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 1. Now, the Bible says Darius divided his kingdom into 120 states and placed a governor in charge of each one. In order to make sure that his government was run properly, Darius put three other officials in charge of the governors. Now, one of these officials was Daniel, and he did his work so much better than the other governors and officials that the king decided to let him govern the whole kingdom. The other men tried to find something wrong with the way Daniel did his work for the king, but they could not accuse him of anything wrong because he was honest and faithful and did everything he was supposed to do. Finally, they said to one another, "We will never be able to bring any charges against Daniel unless it has to do with his religion." They all went to the king and said, "Your Majesty, we hope you live forever. All of your officials, leaders, advisors, and governors agree that you should make a law forbidding anyone to pray to any god or human except you for the next 30 days. Everyone who disobeys this law must be thrown into a pit of lions. Order this to be written and then sign it so it cannot be changed, just as no written law of the Medes and the Persians can be changed." So King Darius made the law and had it written down. Daniel heard about the law, but when he returned home, he went upstairs and prayed in front of the window that faced Jerusalem. In the same way that he'd always done, he knelt down in prayer 3 times a day, giving thanks to God. The men who had spoken to the king watched Daniel and saw him praying to his God for help. They went back to the king and said, "Didn't you make a law that forbids anyone to pray to any god or human except you for the next 30 days? And doesn't the law say that anyone who disobeys it will be thrown into a pit of lions?" "Yes, that's the law I made," the king agreed. "And just like all written laws of the Medes and Persians, it cannot be changed." The men then told the king, "That Jew named Daniel, who was brought here as a captive, refuses to obey you or the law that you order to be written, and he still prays to his God 3 times a day. The king was really upset to hear about this, and for the rest of the day he tried to think how he could save Daniel. At sunset, the men returned and said, "Your Majesty, Remember that no written law of the Medes and Persians can be changed, not even by the king. So Darius ordered Daniel to be brought out and thrown into the pit of lions. But he said to Daniel, "You have been faithful to your God, and I pray that he will rescue you." A stone was rolled over the pit, and it was sealed. Then Darius and his officials stamped the seal to show that no one should let Daniel out. All night long, the king could not sleep. He did not eat anything, and he would not let anyone come in to entertain him. At daybreak, the king got up and ran to the pit. He was anxious and shouted, "Daniel, you were faithful and served your God. Was he able to save you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "Your Majesty, I hope you live forever. My God knew that I was innocent, and he sent an angel to keep the lions from eating me. Your Majesty, I have never done anything to hurt you." The king was relieved to hear Daniel's voice, and he gave orders for him to be taken out of the pit. Daniel's faith in his God had kept him from being harmed, and the king ordered the men who had brought charges against Daniel to be thrown into the pit together with their wives and children. But before they even reached the bottom, the lions ripped them to pieces. That's our Bible reading for today from the book of Daniel, chapter 6, the story of Daniel in the lion's den. May God's mercy be upon us all and his life shine in our hearts and in our souls. You know, I love to look up words in the dictionary. Our words today are hope and joy. My thoughts on hope and joy are that hope is faith in action. Joy is faith realized. Hope is faith in action. Joy is faith realized. One definition of faith is firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Hope is defined as to expect with desire. And finally, joy is described in the dictionary as to experience great pleasure or delight. So if we look to the gospel, the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God on earth, and we believe with hope that we will, with faith, have this joy, that is, we will experience great pleasure and delight. For after all, what is the purpose of life? I don't see many wealthy people seeming to have this great pleasure and delight in life, despite their enormous material blessings from God. Their sole purpose, it seems, is to hold on to and increase their wealth. But I do see a great pleasure and delight written on the souls and faces of most believers. Now, why is this? Is it because our real purpose in life is to glorify God? Yes, without a doubt. My life is filled with pleasure and delight. I've told many friends and family, and I've told Pat many times before, that I feel every day when I wake up that I've won the lottery. And I've found a great gift, a great reward, already without dying and going to heaven. My eyes are on Jesus Christ and the love that he brought into this world, and I see the love that will be in heaven. But in thinking about heaven, I find that I have heaven here on earth. I see the devil and the workings of evil. I'm not a Pollyanna, that is, someone who sees only good, and if no good is to be seen, will manufacture some fictitious good. Some people ask the question, are you a glass half full type of person or a glass half empty type of person? Well, I believe that's a silly question. Can't you see that the glass is neither half full nor half empty? I'm overjoyed that there's a glass of life at all. I'm overjoyed that that glass of life has something in it at all. But I'm working with God, journeying with Jesus Christ to make that glass overflow with the goodness of life, not just for me, not just for my family, not just my friends and my neighbors, but for everyone in the world today. Because you see, everyone alive, black, white, rich, poor, man, woman, child, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, atheist, all of us all over the world are God's children. We are all created by God, loved by God, nurtured by God, beckoned by God to come worship him and him alone, to fear him. And by fearing the creator of the universe, our creator, we need have no fear of anything else or anyone else in the universe. This includes the great terrorist, Satan himself, and anything he can and all of his evil throw our way, sickness or injury or stabs in the back by so-called friends. If God is for us, who can be against us? But much good has been done by men and women in this world when they've kept their eyes on heaven. C.S. Lewis, the great English theologian, said, writing about hope, "Hope is one of the theological virtues. This means that a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not, as some modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you'll find out that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next world. The apostles themselves who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this." And he concludes by saying, "Aim at heaven, and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, and you will get neither." That's C.S. Lewis writing about hope. If I'm preaching about the coupling of hope and joy, there certainly wouldn't be any joy if you aimed only for earth and got nothing. That's a hopeless and a joyless outcome. Jesus Christ warns us time and time and time again in his parables, in his commands, in his teaching that this is true. Find the true treasure. Build your life on the rock. Love one another. Rejoice in finding the one lost sheep. Kill the fatted calf and have a feast at the return of the prodigal son. In John, the 15th chapter, beginning in verse 9, Jesus Christ said in blood-red words, Jesus Christ said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." The words of Jesus Christ from the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. Charles L. Allen, writing in his book Life More Abundant, writes, "Faith creates a middle picture of health. And without a healthy attitude of mind, nobody can be healthy. As Leslie Weatherhead put it, sometimes it is more important to know what kind of a fella has a germ than what kind of a germ has a fella." There are germs, continues Charles L. Allen, in sickening circumstances in every life, but inner faith is stronger than outward circumstances. Inner faith is stronger than outward circumstances. As Dr. Harry Emerson Fosdick said it, "Fear imprisons, faith liberates. Fear paralyzes, faith empowers. Fear disheartens, faith encourages. And most of all, fear puts hopelessness into the heart of life, while faith rejoices in its God." Now, Charles L. Allen from his book, Life More Abundant. Now, notice that nowhere did Mr. Allen say that we have to have $1 million in the bank to be rich, to be healthy. One of the unjust things that we talked about last week was how the greatest terrorist of them all, the devil, the talking snake, would strike at good, moral, innocent men and women and even children with some illness, undeserved. But the truth about Satan and evil in the world is that these illnesses can strike those with money just as well as those without. This is why the Christian, the follower of Jesus Christ, who has this hope and faith and joy, has a protective mechanism built into our lives. Yes, there will be hard times, but we know we're not alone going through these tough times. Yes, the devil will find us and treat us harshly, but the love of God will wrap us in the arms of the Holy Spirit of love and keep us warm and comforted until the danger passes. In our Bible reading for today, probably one of the most famous, I always wonder why it's almost exclusively taught to children. It should be told to children, but adults need to look back on this story time and time again to remind us that God will look out for us, that God will love us, and God does protect us. even when we don't realize it. The story of Daniel in the Lion's Den is an adult story, not an X-rated or an even R-rated story that children can't hear and learn about, but this story is about and for adults, and we should and must teach it to our children. But we adults must also remember what goes on in this story. For Daniel's name is significant. Dan is the Hebrew word for judge, and El is the word for God. So putting Dan and El together with the I in there to make it a whole name, Daniel then becomes in its native tongue to mean judge of God or judge from God. Daniel was from God, as we all are, created by, and we're all from God. This also instructs us that God knows us, who we are from when time began, before time began. The number of hairs on our head are known by God. Remember my definition of a friend. A friend is someone who knows all about you and still is your friend. Well, God knows all about you and still is your friend. God made you, and just as an artist loves every one of his or her creations, God loves every one of us, his highest creation. If we turn our backs on God, if we reject God, if we insist God doesn't exist, if we worship money or power or lust rather than loving God, then God is disappointed in us. But as I'm sure some of you parents listening today will agree, we still love our children no matter what they do. We may not like what they do or agree with them, but we still love them no matter what. This is the way it is of God. This is the love of God. This is the friendship of God. But we also realize about our children that we have to let them live their lives the way they want to live it. They cannot live their lives for us any more than we can live our lives for them. This is why God gave us free will to either accept or reject God. Now, Daniel accepted God. Even in the face of certain death, Daniel chose God over worship of the king or following man's law. This is analogous to today's love of God, following the core commands of Jesus Christ to love one another and love your neighbor as yourself. And one of the most difficult, Jesus Christ said, love your enemies. So we have to make a decision. Do we follow the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, the love of the Holy Spirit? Or do we follow the lust of the gold, the call of power over others, the desire for seductive beauty? As Daniel, who would not worship even his friend the king, was lured into the lion's den to make certain the law of the land was followed to the letter, even Daniel's friend the king, who had seen through the plot of the other jealous managers, jealous of Daniel's faith and excellent ability to live the life God had given him, even the king was rooting for Daniel. But the king didn't have the faith Daniel had. In the morning, however, when the king shouted into the lion's den for Daniel and he heard the voice of Daniel, his friend Daniel, who was still alive, whose God had protected Daniel in the lion's den, he must have experienced that joy that we followers of Jesus Christ experience every day. In Paul's writing to the Romans in chapter 5, Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope." Paul, writing in chapter 5 of his letter to the Romans, even James tells us about the joy of following Jesus Christ. James says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." That's from James chapter 1. And finally, Peter, his rock, wrote about the joy to be found in the love of Jesus Christ. "But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." From 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. Hope and joy and the faith in Jesus Christ and the love of God. If we allow the Holy Spirit of God's love to come into our hearts and our souls and be our guiding light, all of us will wake up each morning feeling like we have won the lottery. Because in truth, we have. Let us pray. O God, Father in heaven, from whom comes the light of all the universe, be the guiding beacon for our nation. Give us the courage to be generous as a nation. Give us the eyes to see those in need and to help them through any means we can, as a nation, as a church, as an individual. O God, maker of all heaven and earth, be our light and let the love of Jesus Christ, from which all humanity flows, come into our hearts. Give us the clarity of heart and soul to be good apostles following your Son, to be good citizens of this great nation that you and your generosity have given to us for safekeeping. We worship your goodness and your mercy and your generosity, and we fear your wrath. Give us the courage to follow the commandments of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, as he said for us to love one another and love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies. Give us this strength to follow his truth, that love of God is stronger when giving of ourselves, both as citizens of a nation and stewards of a church. Give us the strength of character to be that light of Jesus Christ, that generosity of God on earth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're still part of the evil and the sinful world, you can change that right now. You can have God help you hear the words of Jesus Christ. You can do that right now here on the radio or if you're listening on the internet. No matter what is in your past, you can become a follower of Jesus Christ right now in the twinkling of an eye. And your past cannot be any worse than mine, my friend. If you're already a born-again Christian and have gone back to sinful ways, to barring from the church house doors those that may need God the most, to seeking power of this world and all of its false wealth, if your light for Jesus Christ has gone out, ask for forgiveness now. Pray with me right now. It doesn't have to be exactly like this little prayer, but pray with me right now. Oh, Heavenly Father, please give me the courage to live the life Jesus Christ has for me by learning to love those around me. Save me from being lost and being dead in my soul. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Now, the next step is this coming Wednesday evening, you find a church close by, no matter what denomination, and if you're physically able, you go to that church. Many churches have dinner and Bible study on Wednesdays, and Bible study is the very best way to get to know God by studying His Word, and then next Sunday, go to church, but go. Don't let anyone or anything talk you out of it. You go to church, any church, forget about denomination, and look for the love shining in the eyes and the smiles of those churchgoers. That is a reflection of the basics of the love of Jesus Christ that is in their hearts and in their souls. You find a church, find the church, the instrument of God, the true instrument of God, not an instrument of some political party, and find that one true church for you where you can meet other seekers of the love of God. No matter what the name is on the outside of a church, it's what's on the inside that counts. I'd like to salute all you men and women on the way to Iraq or Afghanistan or just coming home, perhaps someday soon in this year of 2008, as we Christians all over the world unite in the cause of the Prince of Peace, we can have all those fighting and wars go home safely. Good luck and Godspeed to you all. Hello to all of our shut-ins today at the Manor Care on Skyline Drive in Fort Worth, where Pat and I gave the interdenominational worship services this morning, and all of you shut-ins joining us no matter where you are. Several of you listened to us on the internet. Thank you so much. You are a blessing to Pat and me. Now, I don't know how to ask for money to continue our ministry, and I don't feel comfortable asking for your help, but the Jesus Christ Said Ministry preaches 3 weeks a month at the Manor Care Nursing Home, and we're here on the radio every Sunday. And that cost, they don't give us this time, it is expensive. So send your tax-deductible donation of any amount to the Jesus Christ Said Radio Ministry, Post Office Box 162-712, Fort Worth, Texas, 76161. If you have a favorite religious song you'd like me to close the program with, please let me know. Today, here is a song sung by the group Selah. It's called His Eye Is on the Sparrow.
discouraged? Why do the shadows come? And why does my heart feel lonely? In love for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on
Selah. His eye is on the sparrow, and I have to admit, a tear is in my eye. Please pray with me one more time. Heavenly Father, keep us all safe until we meet again. Keep watch over us and keep our hearts full of Jesus Christ's love. In his name I pray, amen. This is program number 816, titled Hope and Joy. If you'd like to have a copy of this program, please write to us at the Jesus Christ Said Ministry, Post Office Box 162712, Fort Worth, Texas, 76161. Until next time, this is David Perkins saying so long. I'll see you in church, and be sure to love one another. That's what Jesus Christ said.
From Fort Worth, Texas, you've been listening to the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry. If you'd like to hear past sermons, please go to our website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. This is George Thomas saying thank you for listening, and God bless you.